of EverQuest fans, it's your host Darren, back with another episode of EverQuest Revisited. On this episode, we continue our interview with EverQuest guide Bayo. But before we dive into that, I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about something that's been on my mind lately, and that's the importance of the community in EverQuest. Now, we all know that EverQuest is an amazing game. It's immersive, it's challenging, and it's just downright fun. But what really makes it special is the community that's developed around it. EverQuest players are some of the most passionate, dedicated, and helpful gamers out there, and that's what makes this game so great. Whether you're a brand new player, just starting out, or a seasoned veteran with years of experience, there's always someone out there who's willing to lend a hand or offer some advice. And that's what it's all about, folks. Helping each other out and working together to make the game better for everyone. And do you know what I love about this game? The connections you make with other players. I've met people from all over the world through EverQuest. There's so many people I most likely would never ever met or cross paths with if it wasn't for EverQuest. We may have different backgrounds and experiences, but after all, we all share the same fire for this game. So if you're new to EverQuest, don't be afraid to reach out and connect with other players. Join a guild, participate in forums, or even just strike up a conversation with someone in the game. There are so many ways you can get involved and be part of this great community. And for all you veterans out there, don't forget to give back, share your knowledge and expertise with the newer players. Donate items and resources to those in need, and always be willing to lend a hand when someone needs it. That's what makes EverQuest community so special. Now, if you have any questions, comments, or stories you'd like to share, I want to hear from you. Hit me up on Twitter at EQRevisited or shoot me an email at EQRevisited@outlook.com. I'm always looking for new ideas and feedback, so guys, don't be shy. Thanks for listening, guys. Now let's get back to our interview with Bayo and learn some more about this incredible game we all love. See you in Norrath. What's been your all-time favourite moment as an EverQuest guide?
I think the favorite moment I had really was kind of telling stories and making things for that, you know, the lore, kind of being able to contribute and being part of that. Having an entire raid zone turn around and listen to you talk, or even just a few people, you know, coming up and wanting to talk to you or asking you questions and maybe looking for hints for certain quests or things like that, and not giving them the answer, but being able to tell them a story that might lead them in the right direction. I actually heard a little while ago that there were maybe even quests in the original EverQuest that had never, ever been solved, even till this day. It really was just helping people, because the way that they reacted when you helped people, you talked about feedback earlier from the events, and we didn't get a lot really from that, but you would get a lot of feedback if you helped somebody. The characters would emote hugging you, they would be really happy. If you came across them later in their journeys, they would remember it. Even levels down the road, because you had helped them with something so small. The game was rough. It was really hard early on. And so helping characters kind of just a little bit, making their life just a little bit easier, you know, in whatever way you could, was always a pleasure. So that was a nice thing. The other interesting thing was you'd have random things happen in raids. And so you would go to a raid and hate plane or something. And for some reason, this mob had spawned or had respawned like 17 times, and they were all stuck in this area and that kind of thing, and they weren't supposed to be like that, and it really caused a huge problem. The raid couldn't continue, and initially we were allowed to deal with those problems or talk to the GM, and they might come in, or they could just tell you, because you could death touch mobs as a guide early on, so you could take care of those things. Now, no loot would drop from them, because they wanted to make sure that you weren't abusing it and using it to help other players get loot and that kind of thing. You had to maintain that distance between the players. Getting those reactions, that feedback of happy players, and making their journey through Norrath so much more pleasant. Early on, like I said, everybody was just awed and wowed by the guides and the GMs, and being able to kind of be part of that community just a little bit, not in any inappropriate way, was fantastic. And players got to know you. You served 2,000, 3,000 players, but there were only a few guides and a few GMs, and so everybody really knew you, and if you got a good reputation as being somebody that helped out and solved problems or mediated things, then it was well known. That was a wonderful experience.
So being a guide was quite satisfying. It sort of helped you, like you said, that's what you enjoyed about the actual game was the community. And this allowed you to, again, show another side of your character, if you like, and give back to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess the one thing that really only annoyed me is that regularly at some point we would get petitions about rogues picking the pockets of mobs. And this is kind of interesting. Early on, rogues just practicing their skill, just being rogues and picking the pocket of mobs, it would actually affect the loot that would be dropped for the group they were in. They could even not even be in that group, I think, and still come up and pick pockets, and it would affect the amount of loot dropped. And so you'd have people that would get really upset about it. There was really nothing you could do about it. There was no good solution as a GM or a guide to do it other than saying, hey, can you maybe go practice somewhere else? Or because they weren't doing anything illegal. It was just a mechanic in the game. I think that they ended up changing that so there was a different pool for the loot that was dropped and the loot that could be pickpocketed by rogues. So when you couldn't solve a problem, it was kind of the opposite. You know, you had to tell some, you know, just, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about this. It was kind of upsetting. You would then just kind of make sure that that feedback went on to the GMs who could then pass it on to the developers. But yeah, definitely just helping people really was what made being a guide so wonderful. And there were other perks. You could go around and see stuff. Teleport to Lord Magathon and just sit there and answer petitions sitting right next to him. He had, you know, his own kind of sound effects, and it almost seemed like he was talking, you know, I imagined he was talking dragon. Places where you normally, and mobs where you normally didn't ever see them in any kind of peaceful manner or just standing there, could go and just see them without having to be KOS and be killed immediately. And so there was some peace to be found next to some of these mobs that, you know, as a player, you were just all about going in and killing, and you would go in 5-10 minutes later. That's all that you experienced, because as soon as somebody ran in there, usually the warrior first, unless you had a death touch, and then you would send the ranger in.
Always send the ranger in.
Always send the ranger. We had a ranger named Tree Branch. He was the most fantastic death toucher taker in the game. Never complained about it. Just took it with stride and a smile.
I think the rangers are just happy we found a use for them.
Yeah. I always wanted to say the player is always better than the class. And in general, that's true, especially for raids and especially for groups. You need some interaction between different classes to make it work. And so, yes, there were classes that were left out. But yeah, being able to go and see some of these things was a nice perk. They didn't really want you going around and learning everything. You know, it was still a nifty perk to be able to pop around. But sometimes it was also nice just taking a walk right next to the river and the Karanas and not having to port everywhere. So
I think, one, I better apologize to the Rangers, because if I don't, I'm going to get a lot of messages very quickly once they listen to this podcast, me giving some heat on the Rangers. So I apologize, Rangers. But yeah, I think exactly what you're saying with the rogue, it's in the name. That's what they do. So they are rogues, and it's expected of them. They're for them to do a bit of pickpocketing. I suppose that's what that class is known for. It's in the name. The experience you're saying is awesome. I mean, exactly what you said. You've experienced the game as a guide that most of us have never experienced. And that is, you run into Nagi, and as soon as you go in, it's kill on sight. Straight away, it's battle mode. You know, the music kicks in. Where would you? You could just sit there, and you're exactly right. You're probably hearing sound effects and things which we've never heard before, where he's just there, but there is sound in the game, which we wouldn't really experience. Kind of envy that. Hearing him probably speaking a bit of dragon or whatever it is, it's something none of us are ever going to experience, or only a few have. So I think that's a privilege for you and something to sort of enjoy. And like you said, the Karanas and being able to just go anywhere and just enjoy that zone and the peace and quiet, not even be attacked, see things where, almost like now, where I'm 120, I can go to a lot of the lower end zones and no one's going to bother me because I'm too strong for the mobs. So I don't even aggro them. So I can experience certain zones and run through and actually appreciate the effort. Some of these symbols, which you don't normally see these because you're running too fast, because you're hot-tailing it out of there, or you're too busy fighting mobs. And now I think, being at 120, I'd probably experience only a little bit of what you could probably have seen back then, and spend my time in awe.
Yeah, it was definitely wonderful to be able to do that. And even when you were doing something that was, you know, not great, like having to investigate players and that kind of thing, just knowing the capabilities of the guides and the GMs and that sort of thing, and understanding what they could do and the fact that they could be there at that moment. And there were times, you know, you didn't have anything to do. You could go watch a raid. You could go watch players just group and play. And you didn't have to make yourself visible. You could just see other people enjoying the game and making sure nothing wrong is happening. Or if you're brought into, you know, view somebody training or whatever, you end up randomly going to places that you hadn't experienced yourself. And so there were a few places that I ended up, you know, as I said, I was a guide very early on. Saw some places that went back to as a player, kind of blew my mind, and understanding now what it took as a player to get to some of these places, to level up and gear up and eventually key up in some capacities, just to be able to get to these places and understand what these players had gone through and what they had experienced together. And that community was just amazing. And it was amazing on Tunair, our server specifically. We didn't have Uber guilds probably until Velios. And so really you had a lot of people working together. Those first years were magical, and I think that's why you have things like Project 1999. The goal is, yeah, okay, we want it to be the way it was, but I think more than anything, what they want is that community, those people that you met. I mean, the friends that I knew from back then, you know, Radiate, Phlebas, Treebranch, Zirtle, Raga. I was married to a wonderful elf named Carly. You know, my last name, Bumblebear, comes from her. These people that I've known for so long, and people that I still sometimes see every couple of years, were forged out of this community that was created in EverQuest. And we ended up doing some other things together. It was amazing meeting each other for the first time and coming together and seeing, you know, this guy has a mohawk, and this is a business guy, and this is just some random college kid, and this is somebody who's, you know, owns a comic book store, and all these kind of things coming together from different walks, and nobody caring about that at all. Just community, the friendships that were forged by the challenge that was EverQuest early on, being as hard as it was, you needed to work together. And so that community, I think, is what a lot of people miss and are trying to find in Project 99. They try to find it in other places, but it just, there was something about that time in our lives, something about that challenge and this game that really brought it together. Being part of kind of both sides of that, the guide and the player side, seeing it from the outside, being part of it on the inside, really was quite magical for me as an individual. We can even go back and find the original forums that we used to organize raids. People are still occasionally hopping on and giving updates about what's going on in their lives. It's just, it's really amazing. And the community that was formed in this game.
Yeah, I think it's a community created by EverQuest. I don't think it'll ever be seen again to the magnitude it had been back then. I think there's still some of that community on P99, definitely on P99, from what I hear. On Live, I found that again. I've always called it that EQ itch. No matter what game I've been on, I've never found anything which kind of quite scratched that itch like EverQuest. And that's why I went back to EverQuest, because I missed that community. And the good news is, in some form, it is still there, which is great for a lot of people. That's what they're looking for. You hear people saying it's a giant chat room. And it is, in some sense. It's not like it used to be too much, because the downtime's not there. P99, you still got the sat downtime where you've got a med between mobs. Live, you know, you sit down for about a minute and then you're fully mana again. You haven't got so much downtime on Live. We still have a good chat why we are actually in the game still. So there's still a good community there on Live. I think it depends on what server you're on. For me, being a bard, I can actually tilt now because they've changed it to melody. I don't have to twist so much. When I came back, I could actually talk to people while we're actually playing the game, rather than they're just continuously twisting my songs, pressing key after key. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that. It is 100% the community is what it's all about. And it always has been, and I think it always will be, and that's why people keep coming back or people stay.
Definitely with the guilds that are still actively playing this game 20 years later. I mean, I log in every now and then. I log in for the 20th anniversary. I found friends of mine that have been playing this entire time. Guilds definitely still find that community. It's still there on P1999. Part of it was, I think, initially the fact that, yeah, you would sometimes sit there in a room with a book in your face, you were a caster, just clear it again and again and again. And in between, you had that downtime and you got to know people really well just from that downtime. And as the game's gone on, even on P99 and things like that, you'll find out that the people that are playing it, if they've been playing it a while, they know the mechanics so well that they can actually do just amazing things and clear amazing amounts of stuff and really kind of keep the action going, even on the harder servers. But they understand the mechanics of the game so well that it makes it possible. And they're geared, of course, to a level what they're doing that they can do that. But yeah, the community, astounding, always amazing.
Did you ever encounter any disasters or face any tough challenges while being a guide on EverQuest?
The biggest disaster we had was the one that I remember is we had a bunch of petitions all come in immediately. It was part of a group. You know, something had happened to the character. I don't remember what it was. They think that something happened to the player in real life. They weren't responding anymore. 9 out of 10 times, it's probably they fell asleep because they'd been playing the game for so long. One time, I remember somebody said something in chat about having to go. Somebody was fighting or something was going on. And then they stayed logged in and never came back for an hour or something like that, or half hour or whatever. And people were worried. And so you'd have to get a GM, and I don't know what they were able to do about it. I don't know if they were, we were never allowed to understand what may have happened. If anybody was contacted, I don't know if they had the ability to track down. Obviously they could know the account information of the individual, whether they were able to use that to track down the person. Alert the police if necessary. I don't know. There was that one scary time, but most times it was like, hey, pretty sure our buddy fell asleep. Can you just come to the zone and just drag him, you know, somewhere safe? So that he just doesn't sit here and die, because we're all leaving now and we just don't want to leave him here. So with the exception of that one very scary time, really that was about it.
And I think we've all fell asleep at the keyboard at one stage of our time playing EverQuest. I know I've done it multiple times because I used to be in a US guild. I'm obviously in the UK, so I was up until sometimes 5 a.m. in the morning raiding with the guild and falling asleep at the keyboard. And especially if the raid wiped, go to work the next day and I had no sleep at all because I had to get my corpse back. That I can understand a lot of people fall asleep at the keyboard, and I'm sure most of the listeners are probably there nodding along with us. So yeah, I've done that, been there, done that. That's EverQuest for you. So you said you were a guide for around about 6 months or so early in the Kunark stages. What made you decide to stop being a guide?
Yeah, so I started probably fall of 99 and did a solid 6 months, probably, you know, into the start of spring of 2000. It was more casual after that into Kunark, probably a couple months, 3 months, 4 months into Kunark until I finally quit. And so the thing that really made me go from guiding 40, 50 hours a week, playing very little, was the changes that came in 2000. And so we were not allowed to do the GM events without GMs anymore. We weren't supposed to really interact with the players more. We were banned from killing mobs. We were just not able to help players nearly as much. We were just there to be, you answer petitions, maybe investigate a little bit, and that's it. We don't want you interfering with anything. We don't want you doing anything, really. There was no more the kind of interventions that we were capable of. Maybe you could mediate a little bit, but generally speaking, it was a GM or not. The GMs started becoming more and more sparse. I think they ended up using fewer GMs. GMs were basically given more servers to handle, so they'd have to bounce between them even when they were on hours. And so we would be spending less time with the GMs, more time just kind of handling the petition load, which seemed to get a lot worse. And while I'm very good at handling tons of petitions and getting through them and it really made me feel good not being able to really go and interact with the players as much or have as much power to solve their problems. Really was not something that I was too happy about. And so, and we weren't allowed to tell stories anymore. I wasn't allowed to make up my own lore. I assume there were good reasons for some of these things. And somebody made these decisions, whether it was business or something else. You know, I think the GM events, they really should have pushed those and made them much more prevalent. They made the game more dynamic. And so I saw myself basically saying, you know what? I can't help these people as much. So I started saying, you know what? I'm gonna try to play the game again. I started getting back into the game instead of guiding and really started down a path that led me into raiding. And so by the time I got into Kinnaric and actually was playing, my warrior became much more engrossing for me as a player than as a guide. I had considered at some point applying to become a GM, potentially, you know, trying to move out there. Something I never really ended up going after. So I ended up playing the game more primarily because I think of those changes that were made. It was also kind of exciting with the new expansion coming out. The first few months of the game, brand new. So the new content and everything was very exciting. And some of the friends that I'd met really were kind of pulling me back in at the same time. So it was this mix of just the game itself, wanting to play it myself and not being able to help people as much as a guide anymore that led me to moving from the guide back to being a player.
It sounds like they took the fun out of it for you, probably more like an Agni Ant, because you could be that helpful person you were before. And that's what you enjoyed about being a guide. And like you said, the game itself has moved on and you wanted to experience the game as a player, because it sounds like it took a lot of your time up.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time guiding. And like I said, this is right after college. I didn't have much going on, had a lot of free time. And so, I could spend a ridiculous amount of time playing this game. And so maybe it was 10, 15 hours playing and 40, 45 hours guiding. It basically reversed for a little while and then basically ended up just quitting the guide part and going on with the playing part. And so I think maybe it would have been different if I hadn't experienced the guide program before the changes and kind of known and done the things that I had done, everything from the events to telling stories to really kind of being encouraged to interact with the community more so as a guide, and then having that kind of taken away. Maybe it would have been different, but it wasn't, you know, so the experience definitely declined for me because of those changes that were made.
It sounds like the experience you had was good and you left it there and it's good memories and you sort of went off and enjoyed the game. So that's what we all want to do with EverQuest, really, and build friendship and see the world of Norrath, really. You've had some good times and good experiences with that, and more than many of us. What I'm going to do is wrap up with a lightning round. It's going to be quick for questions and answers. So are you ready for this?
I'm just curious, is there a scoring system? Do I have to beat Battletoad? Am I going to be humiliated if I don't beat Battletoad?
I think the listeners will judge that from your answers. There's no prize at the end of it, and there's no loser. So no winner or loser. Cat or dog?
For me, a dog.
What's your favorite food?
Lasagna, although I am now lactose intolerant, so it's not as fun.
What is your all-time favorite film?
It would depend on the genre, but I think I'm just going to go with The Princess Bride.
Last song you had on repeat?
Clumsy. I think it's by Our Lady Peace.
If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
That one's easy for me. I'm actually an Emily Dickinson scholar, so I would go with Emily Dickinson, as strange as that is for probably an EverQuest player.
It's the zombie apocalypse. What would be your weapon of choice?
I think I would have to go with something that doesn't need ammunition. I think I might go with a baseball bat as my go-to, considering I played baseball when I was younger.
If you could travel back in time, what advice would you give 10-year-old you?
Yeah, if I could tell my 10-year-old something, I think I would say never stop learning. That time, really, I think one of the most valuable things you can teach somebody is just learn. Keep learning. Don't ever stop learning. And you can learn on your own. It's such a key thing. You can learn on your own. You don't need to do just what your teachers tell you. Learn on your own and do it by doing things, not just by reading. Go out and experience this beautiful world. Go out and experience the virtual world of EverQuest. Whatever it is, Do it. Learn it. Love it.
That's a wrap, folks. I'm going to thank Bayo for his time. Thank you very much, Bayo, for your time. I hope you enjoyed being a guest on the show. Any last comments?
No, just thanks everybody that that I know in EverQuest, all of my current friends, and really appreciate all the time that we've had together. Good luck to everybody else.
No, thanks, man, for coming on. Yeah, I do really appreciate giving up your time. It is a lot of time doing these podcasts, and I know it takes, from what the listeners probably listen to and what we talk about, it's probably a good few hours we actually talk and setting this up. So I do really thank you, and I do appreciate every guest who come on the show. And I hope that you had a good experience, and I'm keen to have you back on again to discuss more EverQuest.
Yeah, definitely, Darren. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate you taking the effort and initiative to make this happen. It's been a wonderful going back in and hearing other people talk about it and just kind of reliving it a little bit myself. So appreciate all the effort you put into it. If you want me back, need me back, just let me know. I'd be welcome to come back. Be happy to.
Brilliant. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.